Returning to our lead story, the Israeli Defense Forces have claimed this lunchtime to have inflicted what's termed significant damage to one of Iran's nuclear facilities at Natanz. The justification for the attack came from Israel's Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu this morning, who claimed that Iran was only months away from developing a nuclear bomb. Shortly before we came on air, I asked Professor Nick Ritchie of the Department of Politics and International Relations at the University of York for his assessment of that claim.
There's some degree of accuracy there, although we need to differentiate between producing the necessary fissile material, the uranium in particular, from the uranium program for use in a nuclear weapon. That's kind of the first stage. But then it's another sequence of quite difficult stages to build an actual deliverable nuclear weapon. Going back to the uranium issue, this is what the nuclear program in Iran has been built around. So the issue here is that Iran has been undertaking an industrial process of enriching uranium, which is a perfectly legitimate thing to do. The type of uranium that's used in nuclear fuel for nuclear power reactors is enriched in a particular isotope to about 5% from a naturally occurring 0.7%. Using the same processes, you can enrich uranium up to 90% for use in a nuclear weapon. And Iran is understood to have enriched up to 60%. And doesn't take too much longer, maybe a matter of weeks, to then enrich that level of 60% up to 90%. So yes, one can argue that if Iran wanted to, and we don't know that it has, but if Iran wanted to, it could enrich its stockpile of uranium up to weapons grade level within a month or two. So it could get to that level. We don't know from that stage how long it would take and whether there is a commitment to do this, but how long it would then take for Iran to use that material to develop an actual deliverable, safe, secure, reliable nuclear weapon.
So that's what we don't know. What we do know is that the Israeli Defense Forces have begun to bomb Iran. Do we know yet what the damage has been to the Iranian nuclear program?
We don't know yet. We know that this attack has targeted senior military commanders in the Iranian Revolutionary Guard Corps and some nuclear scientists. And Israel has a long history of clandestine assassination over the last decade or two of Iranian nuclear scientists. But we also know that Israel has attacked four sites that are part of Iran's nuclear program. The question is then, how much destruction is the Israeli Air Force and Special Operations Forces able to inflict on these sites? And therefore, how long will they be out of operation? Iran has built a lot of its sites underground, has invested in hardening those sites to protect them from aerial attack. One of its sites, which it's not being reported, was attacked, is deep inside a mountain. So this might delay the program by months, maybe a year, but probably, it's hard to say, probably not more than that. And I would just add two other things just to consider. First of all, this attack is, from the Israeli standpoint, is meant to degrade Iran's potentially nuclear weapons program, but it's very likely to have the opposite effect. This is much more likely to empower those hardliners in Tehran that have been pushing for the leadership to go all out and take that leap and actually develop nuclear weapons. And the second thing just to note within this conversation that often isn't mentioned is that Israel itself has a nuclear arsenal and has done for decades of about 90 to 100 nuclear weapons.
If the Israeli Defense Forces are dropping bombs on nuclear facilities, the public must be wondering, to what extent is it possible for radiation to have an impact both in Iran to the wider region?
That's very unlikely unless nuclear reactors, operating nuclear reactors, are attacked. These facilities are enriching, as I say, they're enriching uranium, and they are nuclear research, weapons research, explosives research centers. So the main public concern when it comes to release of radiation is that set of concerns that we've had around Russia bombarding Ukrainian nuclear reactors. It doesn't look like, so far from the reporting, that Iranian operational nuclear reactors have been deliberately targeted, which would risk a reactor meltdown and a release of radiation.
One last question. What do you believe is going to happen next? We know to a degree what has been targeted so far, but the Israeli Prime Minister has said this planned bombing raid could last 4 months. So what's likely to be hit if some nuclear facilities have escaped so far?
Well, it's clear that the Iranians are retaliating now with drone strikes, and presumably they have developed plans. One would be surprised if they haven't, as to how to respond to this type of attack. The problem for the Iranians is that their proxies in the region have been severely degraded over the last year or two, and Iranian air defences have been significantly degraded. So the ability of the Iranian military to launch significant counterattacks against Israeli targets is pretty limited. They also risk, if they do successfully strike in a significant way at Israel, they risk a real escalation of this conflict that could potentially bring in the United States and perhaps even other Israeli and US allies. So that's the risk from the Iranian regime. They can't not retaliate, but one would imagine they are going to keep that fairly measured. But I think one effect of this will be a determination to end any negotiations that were underway between the United States and Iran to limit its nuclear program. And there will be a determination to build new facilities, maybe duplicate facilities in even more hardened places. And I suspect that this will, as I say, embolden those in the regime that are pushing the leadership to pursue an actual nuclear weapons program, as opposed to putting everything in place that could enable a nuclear weapons program.
And that was Professor Nick Ritchie of the Department of Politics and International Relations at the University of York.